Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 23 of Sci-Fi Party Line. This episode was recorded via phone, so it's a little choppy, and I had to edit it, some stuff out in some places because you just couldn't hear it. But I made a new friend, Hanako, and we're going to talk about Harry Potter and Dragon Con and some other stuff, so it's a fun show. Enjoy. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Sci-Fi Party Line. I have Hanako with me, and guess what, Girl Geek? Yay!
Hey!
And, well, Harry Potter isn't out just yet, but we kind of want to, you know, have a little build up, and Hanako is like a Harry Potter expert, maybe a junkie more than an expert.
Or both. I think I kind of qualify as junkie.
So, are you, well, I guess you're looking forward to it, but why? I don't know. I might be a little skeptical about it, how good it's going to be, because I've seen so many. I'm a little, might be slightly not anticipating. Why should, you know, people say, oh God, not another Harry Potter? I mean.
You know what? Honestly, I kind of had the same idea at first when I first heard some of the things that they were going to do with the movie, because as we know, if you're a fan of the books and you're a fan, you know, you've watched the movies, you know that they always make some kind of changes that to us seem a little unnecessary. So
changes, well, because I haven't read the book, so I'm one of those people. Yeah,
we're gonna have to change that.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, we'll have to change that because
they're
the books
so
are
big.
So
how they're like 600 pages long? Come on, you can't
but
torture
honestly,
me like that.
Honestly, you know, once you get into them, you won't put them down. I mean, I picked them up and started reading them on a whim. I worked in a school library. I wanted to find out what the big deal was about these books because they were always checked out. You could never get a copy, your hand on a copy of them. And we got a set donated to us at the library, and this was before Half-Blood Prince came out. So I took the set of five home, intending to read it over spring break. I took on a Thursday evening, and I was done with all five by Sunday morning.
All five of the books? Three. Aren't they huge?
Yes.
They're huge.
Yes, they are.
What did you eat?
I did laundry, and I had three little ones running around because this was 4 years ago when I got into Potter. So my kids at the time were 9, 7, and 3. But I got it done. I mean, literally, I could not put them down. I fell in love with the world that she created, and it's just, they're so much better than the movies. Not knocking the movies. I mean, the movies are good, but I honestly think that they could be a lot better, and I think that if Warner Brothers respected the fans as much as they say they do, they could have done a lot better job with the movies that they did. And this,
well, what was so bad about the movies? I mean, I thought they were pretty decent movies. It was enough for me. They were enough for me to where if I never read the books in life, I'd be okay because I kind of know what's going on. I mean, or is that a bad attitude to have?
Not, because the way that they do the movies, it is good for people who have never read the books. It's very good for them to catch up or to kind of keep up with what's going on. But for those of us who are hardcore novel fans, there's a lot missing. Like, one of my pet peeves in particular is the movie Prisoner of Azkaban, where there are certain things that happen in the movie, and it kind of makes you wonder, okay, well, how did he know to do that? And, you know, like, they never fully explain how Professor Lupin is connected to Harry other than saying that he was a friend of Harry's parents. But there are things in there, the background behind the Marauder's Map, that plays a big part in the book, and they literally almost don't mention it in the movies. And so it's...
Well,
it's
upon reflection, now that I think about it, I watched the movie one time, and you say that, and I don't know, maybe... It doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, I don't think I noticed. But maybe if I watch him again, I'll notice, or maybe, I don't know. I guess...
It's just little things like when Harry got caught with the Marauder's Map and Professor Lupin knew how to make the map work. it's like, okay, how in the world did he know how to do that? And
well, you figure he's a magician, he just knows.
But see, that's why you have to read the books, because wow, there's a lot of background behind that. And that background kind of sets an underlying precedent in the books in regards to the way Harry's parents died and Sirius Black being accused and Peter Pettigrew's role. I mean, it plays not a huge part, but there is a background story. J.K. Rowling was very good in creating background story for her characters. And just for those of us who like really love the series for what she did, just felt like the movies could have done a little bit more to honor that, to kind of present all sides of the story. Now, I realize that they have a time constraint that they have to stick to, which is all well and good, but instead of adding things that don't necessarily have to be in the movie and that kind of are just there as filler, I think they could have done a little bit more with what was in the book.
What's filler?
And
what are some examples of filler?
A little bit better. Yeah. Like, well, see, you have to read the books in order to
understand. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but that's okay. We'll get you reading the books. I have more.
I don't know. People have been trying to get me to read. I don't know. I have, like, for school, if it's school books, I'll read them. But if it's, I don't know, you know, entertainment, I want to watch it on TV or movies, you know.
Oh, see, that's the difference with me. I'm a huge reader. Huge.
Mm. Well, you were a librarian, so you're stealing the books from the kids to read Harry Potter. Look at you.
You know, that is actually what I'm about to go back to school to do. I'm going to go back to be a school media specialist. So
it's
just something that's always been an interest to me. I've always loved reading. I've been reading since I was 3. And just science fiction fantasy has always been a favorite genre of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And
awesome.
It's just... It just opens up, you know, you can use your imagination so much more with those types of books.
I know, but then you watch the movie and you're disappointed. I would rather just see the movie and not be disappointed.
You know what? Actually, now that I've been in the fandom for a little bit longer, Harry Potter fandom online is, we're an interesting bunch.
You think?
And I've just learned to... You know, I have to separate the books and the movies and understand that visually there are some things that work better than what will be in the books,
uh-huh,
or that they have to make a story or something visually that can appeal to everyone and not just people who are fans of the books.
Mm.
So
yeah,
that I understand, you know, which, you know, hey, it happens. But getting back to Half-Blood Prince, because of those differences, when I heard about certain things that they were leaving out of the movie and certain things that they were putting in, I was skeptical at first about what they were going to do with the movie, but now that I've seen all the promos and the commercials and all the trailers that have come out just in the past couple of weeks, I'm really excited. This really does look like it's going to be the best one yet.
Okay. Well, the actor's age, is it appropriate with the timeline of the story?
I think it is, because the actors, when they started the story, were all around the same age as Harry in the book. The story begins with Harry as he's turning 11.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they started filming, I believe Daniel Radcliffe and Rupert Grint were both 11, 12 years old, and Emma Watson was 9 when she got cast. So they were all right around the same ages as the characters, and they've kind of grown up with the characters, which is good to me because I personally can't imagine anyone else in these roles.
Mm.
And, you know, they haven't aged too much to where they look too much older. I mean, even some of the older characters, Tom Felton is in his 20s, but he can still pull off playing a 16-year-old high school kid with no problem. So, I don't think it's hindered any. I think as far as the casting goes, I think they've done an excellent job with the casting for the majority of the roles that have been in the movies.
I think the casting is good too. It's just that, you know, they are older, and I heard, you know, some, you know, people saying, oh, they're just too old or blah blah blah. But I thought, I don't know, for me it feels like they, just like you said, grown with the characters in the books, so they are the appropriate ages. So
They are, and even in the books, if you, like I said, if you read it, and it, because the books are so huge, there's so much more detail as far as their characters and what they're going through than you can see on the screen. And it really is appropriate because, like, even in Half-Blood Prince, Draco is supposed to look a little bit older, a little bit more aged because of the things that's been assigned for him to do in this movie. You know, he's got choices to make where, you know, he may have to do things that he doesn't necessarily want to do. You know, Draco is a very conflicted character in this book, and I think Tom Felton will play it well. Just the bits I've seen in the trailers.
I don't think I've seen a trailer. Or maybe I've seen a trailer and I wasn't impressed. Or maybe, yes, no, maybe, I don't know. No, I saw
a
movie.
To fix that.
Yeah, I'm gonna fix it. I'm gonna fix. When does this movie come out? When is the date?
The movie is coming out. It's actually been moved to July 15th.
Oh, I got a month or so to, yes. or you know, to get my
you have self a month,
together.
So all you need to do is go back through my tweets and just look because I post them when they come. So, yes, I make sure I post those everywhere. I post them on Twitter. I post them on Facebook. I post them on my live journal. I post them everywhere. When I say I'm into Harry Potter, if I had to get rid of every other fandom, if I could only choose one, Harry Potter would be it for me.
Wow.
So that's my heart. That's, you know, Harry Potter has done so much for me just personally as a person, bringing me out of my shell because from where I was a few years ago, I was just kind of a hermit, just kind of being mom.
Yeah.
Not really being Hanako. And so that series and that book, those books and the people that I've met through the fandom, both in person and online, it's just opened up a whole new world for me. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, Harry Potter is like, it's my baby.
Well, that's good. It's kind of, I mean, you hear those types of stories with pretty much everything. Mine is it's Star Trek. I guess maybe Star Wars too. I don't know. But Harry Potter, I like it. I like the costumes. I think it is very pretty movies. They're not really dressing up as much as they used to. They're kind of wearing regular casual clothes.
Yeah,
lately.
That's a little pet peeve that I have about it, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't really like that. It is kind of...
We're getting movies, so, you know.
You'll leave it alone. So is the costuming different in the books?
You know, yes, because in the books, they pretty much, because they're in the wizarding world so much, they pretty much wear robes. Like, even for Goblet of Fire, the Yule Ball scene that you see in the movie,
mm-hmm.
they had, the guys had kind of sort of robes on, and the girls had regular dresses. Well, in the books, they all wear robes. They're just dress robes. So, you know, for me, it's not as big a deal because there's only so many ways you can dress up a robe.
Yeah.
At least that's what
that
I
is
think.
True. So I think this the
I
people
think
thought
they
that
did
too.
Some of the, yeah, so I think what they're doing with some of the costumes is fine. Now, other different little things that they do, like Hermione's dress was supposed to be blue, but they made it pink in the movie. It's like, okay, why couldn't they just make it blue? Just little
pink
things
is
like
so
that.
Pretty. Oh my God.
Yeah. So. But, you know, you can choose. I'd rather them have the details right, you know, as far as the characters and how they are portrayed as opposed to, you know, whether they're wearing jeans or wearing robes. So
yeah. That
part is not as much a big deal for me.
Okay. Well, we'll let them have it. And I after the movie comes out, we'll have you back on and we can squeal about it and
okay.
Talk about it. But now I know I heard a little bird told me on Twitter told me that you were really excited about Supernatural as well.
Oh, yes. I'm a huge, huge, huge Supernatural fan. Huge. Got into it at the beginning of the second season and have not looked back since. I hit the ground running with that series. Even got to go to the first Icon convention in Florida last year.
Wow.
And met some of the stars, some of the nicest people you would ever meet as far as celebrities go.
Awesome.
So,
did you meet Jared or Jensen or whatever?
I met Jared very briefly because he was filming for most of the weekend, so he literally came in around 11 o'clock Saturday night and had to leave right back out at 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon. So
ugh.
I literally met him long enough for him to sign his, you know, his picture, my picture with his autograph, and for him to make a comment about my name being a pretty name and one that he hadn't heard, and that was pretty much it.
But which was okay.
But he did do a question and answer. I did get to, you know, ask him a question during the question and answer, and that was fun. And he's
what'd you ask him?
Like I said, actually, I asked him. There's a question. It's revealed during the course of the series that Sam is afraid of clowns and Dean is afraid of flying. So my question was, what was he afraid of?
What did he
and
say?
His answer was, I'm afraid of nothing. So, and most of his questions and answers, if you ever go on YouTube and see the hundreds of videos that are ever posted from any of the cons that they do, he sprinkles a lot of his question and answer with serious answers and then with lots of joking, lots of funny anecdotes.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to keep a straight face talking to him,
huh.
You know, especially in a group of people, because it seems like
cute.
The larger the crowd, the sillier he is.
Yeah.
But so he went on to tell me about a little girl that was sitting next to him on the plane who was apparently a nervous flyer.
Mm-hmm.
And so sitting next to her was making him nervous, but other than that, he couldn't think of anything that he was really scared of. So,
That's pretty cool.
It was a fun experience. I got to meet and talk with Jim Beaver and Chad Lindbergh and quite a few others. I mean, they just the nicest people.
So, do you wear costumes to these cons, or you go normal?
You know, the Supernatural one is not really much of a costume that you can do with them. So I did, but I did sport a very nice Sam and Dean T-shirt.
So do you go? Do they have Harry Potter?
You know what? They do have Harry Potter conventions. I've not gone to an actual Potter convention before. I've gone to Dragon Con the last
you
2 years.
You lucky.
This will be my third year. Yes. Yes, I went on a whim for the first time because I heard that Matthew Lewis, who plays Neville in the films, and the Phelps twins, who play Fred and George,
right.
were going to be there. And I told my best friend, I said, oh, my God, I've got to go. They're going to have Potter people there. And then when I downloaded the guest list and saw all these, I'm like, oh, my God, they've got Stargate people and Star Trek people and, oh, my, that is, you know, it,
yeah.
I was like, okay, this is like heaven for geeks. I've got to go for this thing. So
oh.
I went that first year and just could not believe the scope of how huge this thing. You know, growing up in Atlanta, I've always heard about Dragon Con, but not so much because, you know, with me being black and being in the south part of town, there's just not that many people who are into science fiction.
Mm-hmm. That is
that
so weird.
I saw growing up.
Yeah.
Now it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But, you know, because it's a little bit cooler now, but back then it was, oh, you're a geek, you're weird,
yeah.
you know, that kind
yeah.
of thing. So I never really paid attention to what it actually was, you know. But I went that first year, that was back in 2007, and I loved it. And I was like, oh, yes, I will be here every year. And it's 15 minutes away from my house. How can I not go?
Yeah, how can you not go? So, I'd talk about you if you didn't go.
Yeah. So I did go that year. I got to meet and talk with Matthew Lewis and the Phelps twins and Aaron Douglas. And
oh.
Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica.
Was he cranky?
Also
was Richard Hatch nice
no.
or was he cranky?
Richard Hatch was the first celebrity that I met at Dragon Con that year. And I just told him, I said, oh, my God. I said, you have to excuse me. I said, this is my first Dragon Con. He was like, really? How do you like it so far? And what have you seen? And where have you been? And, you know, so what do you think? What celebrities? I mean, he sat there and had a whole conversation with me. And,
aww.
You know, he talked about the books that he wrote. And he took a picture with me for free, which a lot of them, you know, most of them get paid by the money that they make.
Yeah,
there.
I hate that.
And, you know, at that time, I didn't realize you had to have cash. So I'm walking around with my debit card, no cash, but in the Walk of Fame, which is what they call it, you can only use cash. So I was like, I'm going to come back. I'm going to the ATM. He was like, no, just drop your bag and take a picture. I was like, oh my God, you are so. I was like, everybody else better be as nice as you, or else they have high standards to look. He was the nicest guy.
Oh, and wow. I'm glad you had a great experience. I met him pre the new Battlestar Galactica, before that got made, and he was a little cranky about Battlestar Galactica. He didn't like how they were, you know, the direction of it. And boy, dude was cranky and mean. But glad to know that he's calmed down. He scarred me. I don't even think I want to go to another convention ever.
Oh, no. He was so nice. And I got to meet Michael Shanks and Lexa Doig and Jason Momoa and Christopher Judge. And I was in Stargate Heaven. I have pictures with them all. Silk. I was in heaven. I love it. I loved it. And just the different people who were there, it's like, what I've noticed going to Dragon Con, people don't care what color you are, what background you are, what religion, what sexual orientation. I mean, everybody is just there to have fun and to bond. And it was one of the most amazing experiences I've had.
And that's pretty much why I like science fiction and in general, because it's just like, whatever, you got a blue head and it's see-through, I don't care. Just get on the ship and let's go, you know?
Exactly. So I love it. Yes, Dragon Con, I love it. I'm going again this year. We just got confirmation that Tom Felton is coming, and that's the first Potter person. So I'm like so excited. I'm like, oh my God, we get Draco Malfoy this year. So yeah, I'm like really,
that's
really
awesome.
Excited.
You gotta take some pictures. You gotta bring a video camera or something. Put something on YouTube. Get that stuff on Flickr.
I actually do have pictures on. I have pictures on Flickr. I have pictures on Photo Bucket as well. And then I think all of my DragonCon pictures are also on my Facebook page. So, yeah, I'll have to send you the link so you can go.
You friended me, right? Didn't we friend each other?
On Facebook? I don't know.
Because
I
rarely
see
you post. Do you post on Facebook as much?
I do.
I rarely see you post on Facebook.
Okay,
I see you on Twitter.
Okay,
we'll just exchange links, and I'll put links in the show note of all if you want to. I mean, if you don't
but that works.
Okay, cool. I'll put links on the show notes for you to, you know, so you can have pictures and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
But that is awesome. Oh, Dragon Con. I want to go. I'm going to get out there one of these years. I don't know. Maybe a year when they don't have Richard Hatch, because he scares me.
No, you have to come, and then I'll just have to go with you and say, okay, you know what? The last time she met you, she had a bad experience, and you got to fix this now.
You'll have to hug me.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, it was so good. And then for the price, if you buy your tickets early, $45 for the whole weekend, you can't beat that.
I bought my ticket last year. I paid for it in advance. I had it ready, and I didn't go.
Okay, see, we're going to have to fix that.
Look at you, you're trying to fix me.
you have no excuse because you have a place to stay. So there's no excuse now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you have to come.
I got to bring me a bed bag. What do you call it? A sleeping bag. Bed bag. What am I talking about?
Yeah, you know what? You won't be doing, honestly, you won't do much sleeping Dragon Con weekend. Seriously.
Girl, I need my sleep. I get cranky. I'd be like Richard Hatch.
You think that Dragon Con is a whole nother beast. Like, literally, we leave out the house in the morning and we'll go grab breakfast. We'll walk around the con all day and we might survive on sodas. And then, like, around 5 o'clock, we're like, oh, you know what? I guess we do kind of need to go eat if we plan on being here. I mean, literally, you don't think about it. And the funny thing is, you get more caught up in the people watching than you do going to the panels and seeing the celebrities.
Oh, that's all I want to do. That's all I want to do.
The costumes are so awesome.
I am so into costuming. That's the really real reason why I want to go to these things, just to look at everybody and the quality of their costumes. I mean, looking at the pictures, my favorite is always Star Wars because they are so detailed. The stormtroopers are always, you know, impeccable. Then you have people making ball gowns and I don't know what the hell they're making, but it's just always beautiful.
There's a couple of people who handmade their costumes, and I look at them and, oh, this is one girl in the Potter fandom, and she handmakes all of her and her husband's costumes. Mm-hmm. And they came last year as Hermione and Victor Crumb to the Yule Ball, and her husband looks just like Victor Crumb. So him in this costume and her in this dress, it's like looking at the movie like, oh, my God, that's kind of eerie, but it's so cool because she handmade everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I can work my way around a sewing machine, too, so, you know.
Yes, I hear. So yeah, we'll have to see about that. We'll have to talk.
Yeah.
Because I'm very creatively ignorant when it comes to stuff like that. Like eBay is a very good friend for me when it comes to costuming.
Sometimes you know they don't. Some of the stuff those people make, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a little out there.
I've got to get a good robe. I have just like a very cheap Halloween type Gryffindor robe because that we have to fix because I've already gone through two of them because I wear them more than I actually thought I would.
What? Why?
So like
where?
Because the whole weekend. Well.
Oh. Okay. I was okay, like, dude, what you doing?
Is,
I don't know.
This is what's going to be funny. There is a local Potter group that meets here once a month that I'm a part of found out about at the last Dragon Con.
Okay.
So we meet once a month, and every once in a while, I'll wear my robe. Like every Halloween, that robe comes out. My robe.
Do you have a wand?
Tie.
You have a wand?
You know what? I have Sirius Black's wand, the light up one. But someone stole my battery at the last Dragon Con, so it doesn't light up anymore. I'm very upset about that.
Oh my goodness!
But I do actually, and you'll have to, like I said, you'll have to go look on Facebook because I have pictures of my I collect things as well.
I think we're like almost alike.
I have scrolls. I have Legos. I have some of everything. And most of my stuff is stuff that I'm a big thrift store whore. Can I say that on podcast?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a very big thrift store whore when it comes to books and collectibles. So most of my Harry Potter stuff is stuff that I find in thrift stores for like less than $5. So I have a huge collectible. I actually had to put shelves in my walk-in closet to start displaying all my
stuff.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
My husband
actually.
Will tell you.
Uh-oh.
My husband will tell you. He looks at me and he just shakes his head. He's just like, wow. I said, hey, you have your football stuff. Let me have my Potter stuff.
Yeah.
And that usually just kind of, you know, leaves him alone. I mean, he thinks it's funny, but, you know, he's not one of those who looks down on me for it.
Yeah.
He just thinks it's funny. You know, he's like, wow, I just can't believe you're into all this. I said, you have to read the books in order to understand. Because for me, I mean, it's just the story and the lessons that she's teaching in these books about friendship and about hard work and about perseverance and everything. So, you know, I'm so into it. It's my fun thing. That's my getaway.
Yeah, yeah. So she's done with the books now. There's no more coming out or... Is
We're
that for sure, or is she going to change? I mean, like, why would she just quit? I mean, if you have, I guess, a cash cow, it might be offensive, but if you have something like that, just, I'm going
to
do it.
And I guess that's part of the thing, because she doesn't want to keep writing just for the sake of continuing to write or just for the money. She had a specific story that she wanted to tell, and she felt that in those 7 books, she was able to tell that story, which was good because I don't know if I could take another book at like Deathly Hallows. Deathly Hallows was hard for me to read. It was hard.
That's the last book?
We had 23 deaths in Deathly Hallows, all of them characters that we knew. Deathly Hallows was a hard read. I did a lot of crying reading Deathly Hallows. I'm not sure if I could take another another book after that. She is talking about doing an encyclopedia maybe a few years down the road.
That would be good.
It's going to have all of the background information on all the minor characters and just other things that, you know, storylines and plots and stuff that didn't make it into the books, but she feels like her fans would appreciate. So she's talking about doing another book like that.
You don't think she's going to do, I mean, because the main story is Harry and blah, 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 but why couldn't she do like a spinoff of one of the other characters, or maybe get some lackeys or some interns to do a spinoff? I just think it's
you know,
such a
actually,
rich
it is you know I actually she has room to do another series. Like I said, there's a lot of background regarding Harry's dad, James, and Sirius and Remus and Peter that, you know, I personally know a lot of fans would love to see a series written on them, and, you know, or about the first Wizarding War, you know, the first time Voldemort was in power or something like that. So, I mean, at one point she said she would never write another Harry book, and then later on she turned around and said she would never say never, but she's quite positive she won't. So maybe, you know, maybe something will come to her and she'll just decide, okay, you know what, I don't think I'm quite done with this universe yet. Let me go back in. I would love it if she did. I would love it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I would too. I like the movies. Huh?
After we'll just have to see.
Well, I like the movies. I would hate to see them go away, but I just hope she doesn't get wacky like Anne Rice and do what Anne Rice did, because I don't like her later stuff.
You know, and I have yet to read Anne Rice's stuff. I go through periods with my reading where there's sometimes I'm reading nothing but fiction, and then sometimes I'm reading nothing but Stephen King. And so for the last year, I've been pretty much into the vampire whole, you know, the whole vampire thing, you know, and it started back up for me with Twilight.
Girl.
And then I got into the Southern Vampire series, which I absolutely love.
Wait, True Blood?
Yes.
Or? Oh, okay.
It's
Twilight.
The series of books that, yeah.
Twilight? I don't know, man. I watched the movie just so, because you loved it so much, I wanted to see, like, I heard a lot, I have a best friend, she likes it, and I have a lot of people on Twitter, they like it, but, you know, of course, a whole bunch of adult grown people hate it. Why do you like it? What about it? Because the movie sucked. I'm sorry, that sparkle part,
you know,
he did not sparkle.
And I will say this, and you won't even talk, well, just like I told Anthony, there's not too much you can do with special effects when you only have a $35 million budget.
What? Are you kidding me? They could have threw glitter on him for $10. I mean, I
you know, I have no idea what happened there. I hope they get it better. I hope they do better with New Moon. I will say this, me personally being a fan of the books first and then seeing the movie, I personally felt like if you were not a fan of the books, you would not like the movie, because everything in the movie happened so fast, and to me, it would be kind of hard to understand why these two people feel such a magnetic pull towards each other, because it goes so fast in the movie. And the books is different. Like, Twilight, literally, I felt like a teenager falling in love for the first time again. That's how it was. I mean, the writing could be better, but her storytelling is excellent. I was hooked until Breaking Dawn.
And how many books are there?
There's four books in the series.
Four? Oh, my God. We're going to have to do four movies?
Yeah, they did just confirm that the fourth movie will be filmed, which a lot of people were kind of wondering about, because the fourth book is an interesting mix. It's one of those books, I loved it when I first read it, but I knew after I read it, and I told my friends this, I had with the last book, with that book, and then with Deathly Hallows, I basically had a read-a-thon sleepover at my house. Me and all my girlfriends got together and read all night. Together, so with Breaking Dawn.
Okay, wait. Stop. Y'all sit around and y'all all reading books. There's no discussion going on. You're just like, we're just having a readathon. Woo! No pillow fighting, just a readathon.
We stayed up all night.
I
was done. It took me about 12 and a half hours to read Deathly Hallows. It took me a little bit longer to read Breaking Dawn, because Breaking Dawn was one of those books I had to put it down and kind of catch my breath, because the story she told in that one, it was a bit different. I was expecting.
Is it different love, different sci-fi, different? I mean, what? Spoil me.
Okay. Basically, what happens in the book is you have this human girl who's in love with the vampire, and she's basically through the first three books trying to get him to change her so that she can remain with him forever. And he refuses to do this until she agrees to marry him. Oh. But because of her upbringing, she's kind of weary about marriage. Her parents went through a divorce and, you know, da 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 da. So anyway, in Breaking Dawn, they finally get married. She gets pregnant by the vampire.
Oh, and that's weird. I thought they couldn't do that.
Yeah, the whole incubus succubus thing, that's a whole other podcast. But she gets pregnant by him, and it's this whole big conflict because she's trying to carry this child, and this child is basically tearing her up from the inside out. And it's just, the whole story was kind of weird because she has this baby, but then because of what the baby is, it's pretty much being hunted. And it's the whole story was kind of, it was a little out there. And
you know,
as much as I loved it at first, when I first read it, when I closed the book, I said, okay, I love the book, but I know that this is not going to be a book that I can go back and reread because it was a hard read to get through.
What hard? Like, just because it was sad hard? Or
not even sad hard. I mean, well, for one, the end was kind of a disappointment. It was tied everything up too neatly.
No.
For it to be the kind of conflict that there was throughout this whole book, there seemed to be like this big battle brewing, and then in the end, they just all kind of walked away peacefully. And to me, that was a little bit unrealistic. But hey, it's her book. That's how she wanted to write.
Yeah, anticlimactic too. Ugh.
Yeah, it was. So in that way, it was very disappointing. But I don't know. It was just it was just, like I said, it was one of those books, and I can't really explain it. It was just very hard to get through. And said, okay, this is a book that I enjoyed reading to the point where I would go back and reread it. I just did not feel that way towards this book, even though I loved the story at first. Now, as the months have gone by and I've read other things and thought about the story that she wrote, I don't like it as much as I did the first time I read it.
Okay.
So it's kind of like I still love the... Twilight remains my favorite of the four books because it was the book that made me love the series. And like I said, it's because when you read it, you feel like you're falling in love. You feel like a teenager falling in love. You get the butterflies in your stomach and this sort of thing. And now, I mean, I pretty much watch the movies now because of Robert Pattinson. Like I said,
is that the guy vampire, the main?
Yeah, Robert Pattinson is the guy.
He is not hot.
He was Cedric Diggory in Harry Potter. Oh, but he is.
In Harry Potter.
Yes, he was Cedric Diggory in Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. He was the first kid that got killed when Voldemort came back to life.
Well, that's why I don't recognize him, because he, you know, got get.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't in there much, but I've seen some of his other movies, the indie movies that he's made, and I think he has a lot of promise as an actor. And I think with the right person, you know, steering these movies in the right direction, it could be good. You know, the movies could be good. I think Twilight was good for what they had to work with as far as the money and the locations and the time constraints and everything. So,
well,
I don't know.
The movie was a little sci-fi afternoon, you know, sci-fi channel afternoon original. But it wasn't, it was like, it was a good sci-fi original, but it was just, I don't know. I don't know if I might try an audiobook, but I don't know. I can't see myself actually holding, and you better believe my friend gave me the book and is here sitting in a drawer because I refuse to to read it. But I think I'm cranky.
Twilight.
But I was never the girl that, maybe I had crushes or something, but maybe I have a hardened soul now and that type of thing just doesn't penetrate it. Look at me. I need
a
hug.
Men are so much, they're so much fun to fall in love with because they're not real and you don't have to worry about getting your heart broken.
Indeed.
You know, Hey, fictional characters, you know?
Okay.
But Twilight, I think you would like. I'm not sure about the other ones. Twilight is right now the only one of those books that I would reread. I just haven't had any inclination to do it in some months now. Like I said, I've pretty much for the last few months I've been taken over by Charlaine Harris's Southern Vampire series. So, you know, that's pretty much been it for me for the last couple of months. And then with True Blood coming out on TV and watching it, you know, enjoying it, and then the new season.
So you
that
do enjoy that.
More.
You do enjoy True Blood.
I do.
Is it? Because it was a little chick flicky. Is that you know, what you like about it, or is it? What
started out that way? Have you watched the whole series?
I saw three episodes and I couldn't do it.
Okay, you know what? The first three episodes for me as well, I did not like as much. I was like, I'm not sure about what they're doing with the show.
Because the special effects for the vampires sucked, and it turned me off a lot.
Oh, you know what? They actually got better. They got a little better.
Because I was like, God.
To the point of being disgusting. So, yeah, they got a little better with the special effects. But, yeah, the first few episodes, like my best friend, she refuses to watch the series because she saw the pilot, and she was like, I can't stand it. I don't like it. And, you know, I'm one of those people, if I know something, especially because I'm a fan of the books first, I'll at least give the TV series a try. So I stuck through it, and those first couple of episodes, I wasn't quite sure. And then as they started building a little momentum, I was like, okay, I kind of like where they're going. And then there's a couple of very colorful characters in that cast that will make you want to watch.
They must come in the fourth episode because I don't know.
You need to go back and see. I have to show you a clip. There is a character in that series named Lafayette. He is a black gay man.
Okay, I did like him. I liked him. I saw him. I liked him.
He is one of the best characters on the whole show. Like, if you don't like the show, just watch the show just for him because he will keep you laughing and rolling. Just Nelson Ellis was brilliant in that role. He said that's the first time he's ever had to play a gay male.
He's not gay for real?
No, he's not.
Wow.
That's
impressive.
He's going to be in, he's in Jamie Foxx and Robert Downey Jr.'s new movie, The Soloist.
Oh, that looked like it would have made me cry. I don't know if I want to watch that.
Yeah, I don't know either. I might have to wait till DVD.
Okay, so
we have a little crying in movie theaters.
We have a little bit of a sci-fi vampire crossover here because you have Ed Quinn who came from Eureka, and he's in True Blood now. His name is Stan. Does that ring any bell?
Let me see, Stan. Yes, you know what? Yes, he's Stan is a character from.
Is he what does he do in there? Because he was such a good-looking character and hot and stuff in Eureka. What does he do in this series?
Okay, in Stan, and I haven't seen Eureka since the first season, so you have to forgive me. That's one of those series.
I think he was in the first season. He was a good-looking guy.
Okay.
Well, there are a couple of good-looking guys, but he's the main good-looking guy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But Stan, in the books, he is a vampire in, I believe it's Texas. And basically, all of the vampires have, like, different little hierarchy there. And, like, Eric is considered the sheriff of area, I think it's 4 or 5 in Louisiana, which basically means he's the head vampire in charge of that area. Stan is his counterpart in Texas. And in the book, Stan is described as he's an older vampire, but he dresses as a nerd. So he's got the plaid shirt, he's got the glasses, he's got the pocket protector, you know, with the pins, but he does this to kind of downplay how powerful he is.
So we're trying to tell me that they have Ed Quinn, good-looking Ed Quinn, dressed up as a nerd in the TV show?
Well, you know, they may not do that. You know, this is, of course, TV. You know, they may not do that because, you know, maybe he'll be a good-looking Stan instead of a nerdy Stan.
Because, let me tell you, that'd be a waste of that good-looking man. Woo! Sorry.
That's okay.
I go
That's
on
okay.
my tangents.
That's okay. We all get our fangirl on every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I am looking forward to Harry Potter. Twilight, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just going to leave that at I don't know for right now.
Yeah. I think out of my group of girlfriends, I'm probably the only one who still is, like, really excited about the movies coming out. And that's just because I want to see what they do with the characters. And I like the cast that they picked to portray the different characters. I think they did a great job, again, with the casting for Twilight.
I'll
and
go see the movie.
We've got a couple of those. Yeah, we've got a couple of those guys coming to Dragon Con this year.
Really?
So, yeah. Peter Facinelli is coming. And Michael Welsh, and he played Mike Newton in the movie, but he was also, if you're a Stargate fan,
I am.
He played a young Jack O'Neill couple of years back when Jack got, I guess you could say, cloned, I think it was. So he was in that episode, and there's one other character, not necessarily a minor character, but he not any of the main characters so far except for Peter Facinelli. So we'll see. Like I said, Dragon Con is a cornucopia of everything in science fiction. So if you get a chance, you really need to come.
I'll try. I want to. I really want to.
The Sci-Fi Party Line podcast from the con.
Oh, yeah.
That would be awesome.
Well, if I do ever go, you know I'm going to do that. So
That works.
Oh, all right then. Hanukkah, it was awesome talking to you.
Same here. It was fun. My first podcast. This was a lot of fun. You know, anywhere I get to talk Harry, I'm in my comfort zone. So this was a whole lot of fun.
Okay. Well, guys, if you want to see her pictures or anything like that, go to the show notes at scifipartyline.com. And I will see you guys next week. Bye.
And that's the show. Thanks for listening. To comment on the show, go to scifipartyline.com or email me at fancyfembot@gmail.com. To leave your thoughts via voicemail, give me a call at 206-203-2289. If you want to join in the next episode or have a show that you want to talk about, just find me under the username of fancyfembot on Skype, Twitter, MySpace, or Facebook. Or just go to fancyfembot.com. You can also find this podcast on iTunes. Again, thanks for listening, and see you at the party next time.